It's great to see so many different people here, all responsible for playing their part in encouraging the participation of young people affected by sexual violence. I'm aware that there's a lot of diversity in terms of experience and role in the room, and I think that shows that we are moving towards a multidisciplinary approach to participation, which I think we can all agree is very promising for the young people we work with. Whatever discipline you are here representing today, you'll likely know that talking about participation and doing it are currently often separated tasks. Separated not only in terms of who is responsible for which, but crucially, the context under which participation is planned as opposed to implemented. Strategic planning for young people's participation is often the responsibility of people who are not actually in regular contact with young people at risk of sexual violence. This setup is vulnerable to unrealistic and irrelevant expectations being set for participation, which can result in the loss of its meaning and purpose altogether. Therefore, perhaps before we look at how children can have greater participation, we might want to ensure that frontline professionals are indeed able to participate on an equal footing with their senior managers on the planning of participation to ensure that it is realistic, non-tokenistic, and above all meaningful. Another challenge to meaningful participation is, of course, the development of participative safety. By this I mean, just how do we get young victims of sexual violence to a place where it feels psychologically safe to contribute their own ideas, wishes, wants and feelings when they quite probably don't feel safe in their day-to-day lives? This question raises the point that participation and safeguarding have a somewhat intricate relationship, and in some regards they interdependently impact on each other. In order to truly encourage participation in its purest form, we must create an environment in which the contingencies are such that involvement in decision-making is motivated and reinforced. A failure to safeguard young people from sexual violence is a failure to create an environment where participation is perceived as interpersonally non-threatening. The images and languages our society uses to portray victims of sexual violence is another barrier to their participation. 3 years ago, I was involved in workshops as part of the Be Healthy project, a participation project that utilised a strength-based approach led by young people. In one of the workshops, the young people looked at the media representation of young people affected by sexual exploitation through images and headlines. They immediately saw how little these images matched their own identities or that of their group. Most of the images they found were of very young, white girls cowering in fear. They believed these sent a message that all young people affected by CSE are helpless and need to be rescued by adults. How can we realistically expect young people affected by sexual violence to participate in service planning and delivery, and indeed wider society, when they are labelled as helpless, vulnerable and naive, instead of strong, resourceful and resilient individuals with their own valid experiences, hopes and opinions? Removing this barrier involves professionals encouraging those who work in the media and policy to consider how they can work collaboratively with young people affected by sexual violence to present a more accurate picture of their lives. Only then will people think as critically as the Be Healthy participants did in that workshop, instead of just falling back on the lazy stereotypes we see repeated time and time again, not only in the media but also amongst the very professionals tasked with supporting them to participate. One of the other major realisations from the Be Healthy project was that when young people affected by sexual violence work together, their individual participation is strengthened by each other. Unfortunately, there is still an inaccurate belief shared amongst many professionals that it is too risky for these young people to engage with each other at this level. This belief must not only be challenged, but proved wrong by the many successful examples of participatory projects where young people have created resources that have revolutionised care practice. Of particular importance is the lack of representation of boys and young men affected by sexual violence. Unfortunately, the voices of boys and young men are even more sidelined in the dialogue of planning and delivery of services. They are by far the largest marginalised group in terms of participation in services for young people affected by sexual violence. Their marginalisation only serves to silence them from participating in a meaningful way. We absolutely have to get better at seeking out the voices of boys and young men by creating a male-friendly environment where they feel able to propose new ideas and solutions to problems in a non-judgmental climate. I'd like to finish today with a collective quote from the young people who participated on the Be Healthy project on how they felt about the stereotypes out there about young people affected by sexual violence. Sometimes we are invisible because of all the media representations, but now you can see us. We've got voices. We are being heard. We are bold. Hopefully that leaves you with a testament this morning of the confidence and courage that young people build when they participate. Thanks for listening.